Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, D3 Nation? I am your host, Dan Kaplan, and with me, as always, is my buddy, my PIC, the big dog, Caleb Abney. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Dan. How are you?
Doing great. I'm excited to chop it up with you, as you love to say. And there's plenty to chop. We have a ton of action that's unfolded over the course of the last, I don't remember even the last time that we were able to actually get out an actual episode. I feel like it's been weeks. So there is plenty to talk about between that and the fact that we are now on this side of March, which means most of our teams up in the north have all debuted, so we've been able to get eyes on all of those teams. We have plenty to talk about with that. We have a lot of other action to recap, some really tight games, some results that maybe we didn't expect so much, some that we were certainly expecting, but obviously a ton to get into, and I'm excited to do it with you.
Me as well, Dan. Yeah, like you said, you know, everyone starting playing back up. NESCAC going again. It gets my blood boiling. I love it. So with all that said, you want to get into it?
Yes, I do. We have statistical players of the week and we have game recaps. Where do you want to go first? You pick.
Let's go with our players of the week. Let's go with our players of the week. Start the people off. Give them some highlights from the weekend here.
All right. We got some big performances. I know that there's one that you have to hit. I have one that I'm dying to get to.
I know you are. But I'm going to jump in and take it. You steal it, because I know you, and I know you might jump in. Oh, man. I got to go with my man Dylan Miller out of Centenary College? Centenary College. Dylan with an absolutely monster day, allowing two goals on 20 shots with 18 saves. Like, that's a statistical game of a lifetime. Like, I would.
He allowed two goals.
Yeah, two goals the whole day. 18 saves. Like, are you kidding me? I'm getting off that game. I'm calling mom, dad, grandma. I'm telling everybody what just happened. Like, that's incredible. I'm getting a little stat card from the game and getting like my trading card, and that's what I'm using for that. That's some insane stuff.
And I'm following up with another specialty position here, except I'm going right across the world, probably the one that you're familiar with, because I feel like a lot of these guys are kind of cut from the same cloth, maybe not so normal. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
The face-off guys, maybe not so normal, all of them, but gotta love them. And when you get hot ones, they just completely change the game. And I'm talking a 13 of 13 and a 12 of 12 performance from the same team, where you had Caleb Simpson and Graham Clausen from Methodist take down Warren Wilson with a 25 of 25 performance duo.
Whoo! Perfect on the day. Okay.
I knew you'd like that one. That was the one that when I was adding it to the outline, I was like, oh, baby, you're going to like this. Oh,
I love that a lot.
And then the other reason that I made you take the next guy here is I'm eager. I mean, this is part of why I like to do the D3 pod, man. I am eager to hear you pronounce this name.
I feel like I got it down pretty good here. So be ready.
Full accent and everything, I feel like.
Rocco Albanese. Rocco Albanese. I've just been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed, so everything's got an Italian flavor. Oh, not the new one. No, I've been playing through the old ones recently.
Well, the new one is not worth your money.
Okay, that's what I've heard. I've been steering clear. Oh, but Rocco Albanese. How would you pronounce it, Dan? Did I do pretty good?
Albanese.
That's pretty good too. That makes more sense.
I
don't know.
That's how I would pronounce it, though.
Yeah.
But Rocco Albies, big game for Albertus Magnus over St. Joseph's.
So, huge game.
Shout out, Rock.
Yeah, what up, Rock? Good stuff there.
All right, let's move right on into our preview slate. No.
Yes, preview.
You want to do preview before we go back and hit review of full games?
Nope. I mixed up my words. You're right. Yeah. You we want to review and then preview.
Yeah.
We got this.
All right. I'm ready. You take us through. Where do you want to go first? Pick your path.
Oh, all right. I love this choose my own adventure type night.
That's right.
I think we should go down and start in Salisbury, where we saw Lynchburg take on the Seagulls.
All right. Do you want to give us any intro on this one? Did you get to catch it at all? Or you want me to just jump right in?
I caught a good little bit of this one. Definitely not as fun as I was expecting. Personally, I thought was kind of hoping Lynchburg could come in and maybe play spoiler, upset a little bit here. But that didn't seem to be the case. Lynchburg did come out and play pretty strong. They had a couple good possessions. But overall, you could just kind of tell Salisbury dominated, from start to end. DeFazio was kind of having his will on defense with caused turnovers and things like that. And they really didn't even end up testing Ransom. And then the other unfortunate part that I do have to mention, because I love talking about the good stuff, I got to mention the bad stuff, too. I would say this is probably one of Hadley's less enthusiastic performances, I would say. You know, it didn't get me hyped too much for him. There are some shots I definitely think he wants to have back when he's going back to the film. And the stat line will definitely show you that as well.
Yeah, I would say, every goalie probably wants at least a few back after every performance. But certainly there was some rooted issues in the reasons that those shots were occurring from where they were and how open shooters were that, weren't working in his favor.
Very true. Yep. That's a good way to have the goalies back too. Cause there were some pretty uncontested shots from some nice looks there. So
do you have an analysis for what you would want to see better from the defense to protect Hadley a little bit and give him more savable shots that now, you know, at least he's got, you know, a chance at.
I think definitely this year too, compared to years past, Lynchburg's defense doesn't seem as cohesive as a unit as it.
Right. Maybe not as cohesive. And I think one element that leads to that is, short stick D mid play. We talked about this with Coach at the beginning of the season when we had him on. Luke Meadows, we knew would be, up to the task. After that, we just weren't sure who we were going to see in those types of roles. At this point, you're already seeing some rotation. You've seen some guys move from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side to fill some gaps there. And one thing that leads to is, you can put athletes in that role, and maybe they own the covers, right? Maybe they're a little better at that. But it's harder to be, to your point, cohesive within team defense and on pick play, which is really, really nuanced at the college level. And if you're not stout with your pick plan and you're not executing on your pick plan, you're left helping constantly. And you're just screwed from the start.
Couldn't have said that better myself. And I think you summed it up there perfectly, just having that extra defensive guy that's on the end that's kind of, anchoring that defense. And it's definitely shown here early on in the season.
So that, I think, is the kind of prescription. I like the way you worded it. Just being more cohesive on that side of the ball is kind of a good general description of a well-worded analysis.
Yeah. And I will say, though, with all that negative analysis, Tyler Hadley, with the assist, I said it before. I'm still standing on this rock.
Last year, you said you wanted to get you wanted to shake hands with Brock Gonzalez at Mustang Classic. Are you gonna move the goalpost to Tyler Hadley this year?
Tyler Hadley might be the guy this year. I don't want to give away the guy too early just yet. I think I want to save it for next week's pod.
Okay.
For that guy, but Tyler Hadley, top three for choices for that for sure, easily. Oh.
You're gonna give him that status, but you're not gonna name him.
I can't name him just yet. No. We'll see what happens. No, but Tyler Hadley did have an assist in this game. It was towards the end of the quarter or the half, I believe.
Yeah, right at the end of the half.
Yes, chucked it right down, got the assist. That was sick. So shout out Hadley for that one.
And then other side of the ball, let's talk about the Seagulls a little bit, much to your dismay. They're spectacular. They are just absolutely like the definition of reload, not rebuild. What did you see from them that, and I mean, this is kind of a link to the preview, but what did you see from them that maybe you're worried about for the Spartans this week?
I'm concerned with how good Jude Brown is, but you just don't see him on the field the whole or all the time. Like when you're watching the game, he doesn't really stand out as like, oh, that guy's like really crushing it, or like, wow, that 52 guy is insane. But he really is the catalyst that makes the offense go. And at the end of the day, he's always near the top, if not the leader in points. So like, I just feel like it's so hard to key in on a guy. Where at the same time, his game isn't really that sort of way on the field.
Your Ray Lewis 52 bias is showing. He's close to 52, but 56.
56, and okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to push back on your point a little bit, but just because the ball's in his stick so much. But I get your point in the sense that, like, more so than in other years, especially like early in his career, which in this was, you know, more out of like he was asked to do more at his first stop. But he lets the offense, like he lets the game come to him to a degree. Like that cliche saying of like he doesn't force the game. He does. He definitely is like orchestrating the offense versus like trying to just be the offense. And that, yeah, I think is an important distinction of like, you know, the quarterback role.
Yeah, no, I think that's an awesome way to put it there. And then, I mean, defensively, Ransom didn't even really get tested too much in this game. And I alluded to it earlier, but DeFazio is an absolute monster. Like that guy is just all over the field. It doesn't matter who he's guarding. He's an insane athlete.
The two guys defensively that we highlighted for them before the season is DeFazio, and Jeremiah Stafford, who has been one of the, like, over the course of my time watching Salisbury, which at this point is, you know, years and years and years.
Wow.
Rarely do you see freshmen come in with the same type of, like, impact and poise that he did. So you kind of had a sense that, you know, this year was going to be another step forward for him. And that's definitely been the case. Like, I think you can continue to expect to see his name, you know, at the top of the box score. And him and DeFazio combined in this one for 8 calls turnovers. They're just everywhere, you know, putting the ball on the ground. And it creates transition. It creates chaos. It gets offenses out of their flow. It creates frustration. Creates turnovers in the middle of the field. Like, all that type of stuff that is just so disruptive to an offense. And those two guys, I think, are at the, you know, the tip of the spear, so to speak.
Definitely. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this one before we keep on rolling here?
No, keep us rolling here. Where you want to go?
Awesome. All right. I think I want to head up north a little bit, okay, where we saw my favorite team from last year debut, Amherst, taking on Middlebury, where we did see the Panthers win 17-11. Dan, did you catch much of this game?
All of it, yeah. I mean, replay, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So what kind of stood out to you? What did you see here? Definitely a good performance from Middlebury.
Yeah, and I feel like it's very similar to what we saw last year. There's definitely a lot of familiar faces. You know, a lot of – all of that leads to being – familiar faces, not only does it lead to just being able to, like, hit a stride earlier and, you know, just – have already worked through some of the like kinks that come with like early experience and playing time, but you're able to take last year's principles and just continue to build on them. Like maybe there's a segment of like review that you hit in fall. You know, you're getting some of your young guys up to speed, that type of stuff. But at this point in the season, you know, when you're rolling out, you're finally debuting, you know, at this point in the spring, you just are a little bit farther ahead than maybe what you're used to being when it's a lot of guys that are new faces or that haven't experienced a whole ton of playing time. And I feel like Middlebury's, you know, on the positive side of all of that from last year where you have a lot of guys returning. Patrick Jamin, I feel like, I mean, the more you watch this team, he's going to become a what do you say, guy or dude? What's the order? I always forget.
You're a guy first, then you become a dude.
He's someone to me that he's got the chance to just jump guy and go right to dude when you watch.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Wow, and that's big. And I noticed too, Dan, like, I think Middlebury, what was it, 9 or 10 man down terms that they...
Full 10. Double digits.
10 man down periods that they battled through, like,
and it's never funny when a coach gets a conduct foul, but coach got a conduct foul, and it was fun.
Yeah. Speaking of conduct fouls, Matt Nessler's conduct foul for Cabrini. We have to talk about something. Hilarious.
If anybody's curious, any listeners out there are curious, I'll just confirm that the D3 pod has touched base with Mr. Nessler. I'm leaving it at that. There has been communication between the D3 pod and Mr. Nessler, so we'll see how that relationship continues to evolve throughout the course of the spring. He's a little too out there for me.
Oh yeah.
But man, he's an entertaining watch.
He is certainly something. Yeah. I'd love to go to a game.
I remember him too. I remember him from playing.
I hope this gracious his
ears somehow, but I have lost a bet on his behalf, betting against somebody that he would get a penalty in a game. Josh Davey. If anybody wants to check me, I have bet Josh Davey in a game that the Cabrini goalie would get a penalty against Lynchburg, but he didn't, and I ended up losing the bet. But that did happen, and said goalie was, like, I'm 99.999% sure it was Mr. Nessler.
Yeah.
Good times, man. D3 life. It sticks with you. Those are my
favorite. Love that. I love it. Well, I hope that continues to develop and blossom. But yeah, so 10 man downs. And then they also kind of struggled a little bit, Middlebury, at the specialty position. I know we like
Nicholas,
to talk.
I'm stopping you. Okay. Nicholas Kopp is legit, man. Nicholas Kopp, he is the real deal. So
I saw 9 of 32 at the face.
Still be pretty good. They could still be pretty good there and go 9 of 32 against Amherst, because I think Amherst is that good in that spot.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Sorry.
That's fair. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
That, you know what? I still love you, man. I still love you. We can agree to disagree there. But
what else do you want to know about Middlebury or Amherst? I'm ready.
I want to know about tell me about the faceoff for Amherst then a little bit, and their specialty play.
Okay, a cop. I mean, he's very. I think he's just a very well rounded faceoff guy. Like, I think everything about the position, he brings at least a piece of the puzzle to, and is pretty good. You know, he's got a strong handle. He's pretty good with his exits. He's got quick hands, but it's not like he's relying exclusively on speed. He's got strong technique, but he's not like, you know, just only relying on, you know, counters or anything like that. Like, I think he's just a really well-rounded face-off guy that is able to bring a lot of different elements to the table for that, and plays with a high IQ. So that translates to knowing, like, okay, I need to go counter here. I need to go, you know, try and win forward here. They're cutting me off on this angle, so I need to exit out my back shoulder. Like, all that type of stuff, I think he just does really well, you know. Okay, they've stepped the wings down, so now I have a free guide in my back. I'm going to just win this backwards here. Those types of things he just does a really good job of. So, yeah, 22 of 31, 71%, 11 ground balls. A really impressive day despite the loss there for him.
Love that. And then other than that, did we see any sort of offensive output from Amherst? I know 11 goals still had something cooking there a little bit. Who shined on them for them offensively?
Yep. So Jake Bennett led the way with 4 points. He's a guy that came in with a preseason All-American honors. Really talented. I think he's a guy that has great frame, great size to him, and really two-handed. So when you have that element of like athleticism and two-handedness, you're really just able to win some matchups. And I think he does a good job of that. And again, he's a guy that sees through the defense. Like, I was just talking about this, plug IL Preps podcast. Make sure you go check that out. I just came earlier tonight, St. Mary's versus Georgetown Prep, at Georgetown Prep, an incredible game. Gannon Cope, who's a guy out of St. Mary's really sees through the defense. Him and Jake Bennett should have a should play catch with one of them on one side of the 6-on-6 and the other one on the other side of the 6-on-6, and they would both be able to like just equally skip the ball right through the defense. And I think that's a really important trait. So, and it showed there. Jake Bennett had 2 goals and 2 assists, so hits for a 50-50 day for 4 points. And then outside of that, it's a couple of new faces in Alex Giacobbe and Matthew Sheenberg. And then Bob Gross, who was the NESCAC Rookie of the Year, follows suit with 3 points each.
Yep, that's a name I'm familiar with there. So definitely seems like
I got a bone to pick with him, though.
Okay. All right. Pick it. Pick away.
46 is for life. 46 is like nation. 46 nation. Decaplin 46.
Second best number out there. Yeah.
He already had the if he had changed to 8, sure, I'd forgive him. But he had the best number ever. He's the NESCAC Rookie of the Year. You're going to come out in the sophomore and just be number 4?
Ooh.
He chopped off the 6. That's terrible.
And with that, chopping off half his game, it sounds like. Man.
I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. But someone who just willingly walks away from 46.
Mm. It might be the courage.
Did you see the disgust in my face?
I see it coming from your face. I think, have you officially cursed him until he goes back to 46? Okay.
I wish him the best.
Okay, all right.
Kill him with kindness, buddy.
Yeah. Love it, love it.
He is back from BC4, though.
Oh, okay, BC4.
All right, this game was great. I think we got to keep moving. A couple more shout-outs before we do. Russell Thorndike, awesome game. 5 points, 4 goals and an assist. Another guy that came in with honorable mention, at least honors. He might have been a teamer. I forget off the top of my head now, but definitely an All-American coming into the season. Debut status is why we're going to go back and refer to that. Obviously shows out in that debut, 5 points, and it definitely lives up to that. Same with Cooper Damali and Billy Curtis, who all, the 4 of those guys who we already mentioned, Jammin, Thorndike, Damali, and Curtis, all had at least 4 points on the day. So really just strong performances, hitting their stride right in, right, picking up right where they left off last year, where they were dynamic and lethal and, really playing fast and working quick through their subs and striking in transition and, all that type of stuff. I thought was really just evident again right from the start here.
Love that. Well said there. We'll keep this train moving on and let's go north, but not too far north. And we'll stop up in Gettysburg, where we saw a great game between Gettysburg and Stevenson. Came down to 11-9 with Gettysburg taking the win. Two big standouts for me were definitely Max Rashid. I probably said that wrong. Was I close? Okay, I definitely said that wrong. That's fine. I'll keep rolling with it. He hit for 5 for Stevenson. That's great points. He was shooting.
Make up for the lack of pronunciation with Love on his game.
Oh yeah, his game was sick on the day. I mean, they short sticked him, so it seemed like he maybe took that a little offense to that, and just started letting him fly. And he was finding the net with 5 goals. But you know me, I gotta give the shine to our goalie.
I knew exactly where you're going. I can't believe
100%. I mean, my man Chase Morgan out there with 20 saves on the day, absolutely stellar, standing on his head and showing why coach gave him so much praise in the pod a few weeks ago. So this was definitely an awesome game. I know the pod didn't come out last week, but I said it on the pod last week, so I'm giving myself credit for it. Definitely somewhere in there, but I said it on the pod. Stevenson was going to come out and play Gettysburg real tight this past week. They got a lot of seniors, some big guys. They play physical and imposing, and that's going to be tough for the Gettysburg freshmen to kind of withstand. So it came to fruition just as I had thought.
Quick rant.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Stevenson doesn't get more votes in other polls.
Like top 20 polls and such?
Yeah. Like, they are so clearly a top 20 team. Like, if you just, like, my eyes tell me that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I do know why. It's because they haven't, like, polished off any of these games that they're close in, but like, I don't know, guys. Come on.
Yeah. When we get to preview mode, that could be coming.
Wake up.
But Dan, did you catch this one?
Yeah, every second. You know me.
Same here. It was electric. What did you see?
I saw a lot where you were bouncing all over the place. I had nowhere to pick up. You were talking about Chase Morgan. You're talking about Ratchet. You're talking about all sorts of things. Okay, I guess I'll just do the same. Jumble of thoughts on this game.
Yep. Just let it explode out there.
Charlie Johnson, 5 points, freshman. Boom. Jack Dunleavy, 5 points, not a freshman. Double boom. But both of those guys were electric. I mean, really just an impressive performance from both of them. And then our third guy here down at attack was Ethan Kessler, who scored 3 goals or had 3 points on the day. The lefty of the group that, again, just has been around and gives this group of youngsters like a real veteran presence on every possession. So I feel like his presence is like, even if it's not stated in points, is stated in just what he brings to the table on a general, like every 6-on-6 set. Same with Jack Dunleavy. I think you could put him right in the mix there. And obviously his day did result in plenty of production. You mentioned plenty of Chase Morgan. I think he was obviously fantastic, 20 saves on the day. And as those saves numbers get up, that also leads to, you know, gripping the stick a little tight. And maybe now you blow one that you should can wide because you're just thinking about it a little too much. All of that type of stuff certainly is an element. I'm going to go right into Will Headley, who had the play of the game to me, the sequence of the game, where he takes a face off, probably gets away with a push, but takes the face off, loses it, but makes them go backwards. So now there's like a scramble situation, leads to a ground ball. Stevenson picks it up behind their goal where he picks a pass off. So he takes a face off, picks a pass off behind the opposing GLE below, like his offensive end GLE with a long pull, picks a pass off. Comes around GLE, fakes like he's going to take a shot, backhand it, that then draws all of the defense, gets the goalie like all out of position and like focused on him, and then he just backhand passes it like across to an attackman that's wide open and scores. It was just, I mean, the 45-second sequence, or it was maybe probably even less than that, but it's one of the sequences of the season, one of the individual efforts of the season so far for me.
Love that. Yeah, that was an electric play that definitely changed the game too. But wow, yeah. Yeah, so Dan, any other big kind of takeaways? I think we're going to be talking about Stevenson, like you said, a lot more this year. You know, they're probably...
We hit another plug right now, natural plug. That was a great opportunity. I'm going to take it. We will be talking a lot about Stevenson. We will not also just be talking a lot about them. We will be there on site, hanging out 10 games in a row. If you are a Division III lacrosse fan and you're listening to this, it means that you should be doing everything. If you're going to take the time and effort to go through, find this in the podcast app and listen to me and Big Dog chop it up about D3 lacrosse, like you should absolutely be doing everything in your power to also be doing, attending the Mustang Classic here on the 14th and 15th, 15th and 16th, whatever that Friday, Saturday is. I don't know the dates. I just know that I will be there. Those are the days that like, you know, you just block off Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, Mustang birthday, Club. Your wife, your anniversary, Mustang Classic. Like that is not even exaggerating. Like that is 100% how I feel. I've actually turned down other obligations just so that I can make sure you and I are there for every single second of all 10 games. Hopefully people have already gone back and listened to earlier episodes, so they know that I'm working with a pregnant wife here. So assuming everything is according to plan there, you know, I'll every single second of all 10 games, baby.
I cannot wait. I like I say every year, it's my favorite time of year. It's a dream come true to do it with you. And and IHOP before is going to be incredible. So I can't wait for that.
All right.
I'm thinking about that Colorado omelet right now.
So, yeah, get to the Mustang Classic, people. If you're a D3 fan, if it's in your means of travel, go spend some time in Owings Mills. Spend a little drive down into Baltimore. Go see hang out in the Inner Harbor. one of those nights or whatever, but you have 10 incredible games that you can just pick at the litter, and good God. RIT and Tufts, battle it out. Like, you're never going to get a better regular season game than that, especially, like, I mean, maybe ever, but this season, like, that is number one best regular season game, and stamp it. Like, it's going to happen. Everybody knows it. D3 fans saw it on the schedule in the off season and started, you know, marking their calendars to make sure that they're ready for that one.
Coming back to the pod here, you want to keep this thing rocking and rolling?
I do. Take us to another team. Another journey on another path, maybe one that'll also be at Mustang Classic as a nice natural segue.
Yeah, natural segue. This team will be at the Mustang Classic. Both these teams will be, actually. And let's go up north, not too far, though, to York, where we saw York take on RIT. And wow, what a game. Do you think this was game of the weekend, Dan?
Oh, game of the weekend. That's a tough one.
Yeah, there were some good games this weekend, so. I don't blame you if you say no, but 11-10 RIT edging it out is.
I'll say yes for two reasons. I didn't catch Hampton Sydney St. Mary's live. I haven't actually really dove into that one a whole ton yet. Still on the to-do list. I know how it ended, obviously. We'll get into that one for a quick one at some point here. I would like to say Williams Babson. I didn't watch it live, though. So, yeah, I'll go default RIT York was game of the weekend for me. Yes. Final answer. Final
great pick. Great pick, because that is the correct answer, Dan. You've chosen correctly. Because this was an awesome game and quite the game of runs. You know, we saw RIT kind of go up. I think it was 6-2 at one point. And back of my head, York fan that's watched every game knows that, all right, this is the time that RIT, Tufts sort of game, they kind of just start to roll over and then, you know, things fall downhill from there. But that's not what happened here at all. I was really impressed with the Spartans, how they battled back, got back into the game, and made a tight contest going all the way down to the end there. But
how much of this one did you get to watch? What did you see?
Well, I was switching back and forth quite a bit between Lynchburg and this one and whatnot. So I caught a good bit of it, but, you know, I wouldn't say every single second like the classic York fan of me.
Gotcha. Default to me to take this bad boy then?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Why don't you cruise on through here?
I will. I felt like it was just really gutty that, you know, York goes down early. They go down 2-0 like right away, and you're just kind of thinking to yourself as a York fan, like, this might get ugly. And then it's still, even at that point, gets a little bit worse before it gets better again. I thought Jack Keller was great and kind of got better as the game went on. I thought that they kind of adjusted to kind of the RIT offense. You know, it's so unique. It's so different than so much of what you see. So as you get a couple reps under your belt, you get a little bit more familiar to be able to go ahead and actually like defend it with some sort of effectiveness. So yeah, I think all of that factored in. I think it's RIT like still has some untapped potential with John Mazur out. I guess he's battling a bit of a hand injury. So hopefully he gets better and healthy soon. No idea what his time frame is, but hopefully that is, you know, something that rounds out here and he can get back into the mix, because I think he's just that so important that, you know, even without him, they're obviously extremely talented and skilled on that side of the ball, but he's just going to give them another element that'll, you know, help them raise to another level that they're currently untapped at. Jake Erickson and Luke Pilcher both led the way with 2 points, both on goals. And then outside of that, it was everybody else kind of chipped in with a single point. Really impressive stat. 11 players had points on 11.
That is very impressive from the Tigers, yeah.
And I think it's more impressive in the sense of, like, when things weren't going well for the guys that, you know, normally are racking up the points and the scores, like, other guys were able to find it within them to either get something done in 6-on-6 or, you know, make the right play and transition to just get, you know, on the board. And in a game where it ends up 11-10, which is certainly a lower scoring game than RIT is used to, every goal, literally every goal, was make or break.
Yep. Yeah. Very, very well said. And then from the Spartans side of things, you know, we did see, who was it there? Fessipani did pretty good, as well as Harnik, obviously getting his stuff. But what did you see from them offensively?
Yeah. So I think, and this is another thing that's kind of gone, under the radar as we've been out of the picture a little bit, but Jackson Shields has just brought another element to the table this year between his like two-way ability and being dynamic on offense and effective shooter. That kind of like just wasn't as efficient in this game, right? Like he goes 1-for-7, but he's been fantastic so far this season, to a point that like everything that you're getting from him on offense is like unexpected, that like, you know, you can't fault him at all. And then it was great to see Michael Russo step up and connect for 3 points, Jack Grayson step up and connect for 3 points. RIT, you know, defensively, like they're always going to be buttoned up. They're always going to be organized and they're always going to get better throughout the course of the game. And in this instance, like, I don't know that it was a necessarily like a whole total difference from first half to second half versus York just had the ball a little bit longer, was able to get deeper into possessions, and was just playing a little bit better on that side of the ball, you know, with urgency and their back against the wall.
Well said. Yep, that was a good contest, very well wrapped up there. Any other final thoughts that you want to leave us with before we keep on rocking here?
No, I think that'll wrap it up for me. You mentioned faceoffs. You know, both of those guys really battled it out. Vinny, you know, 13 wins. Alan French transferring from Merrimack? With 11 wins. So those two kind of took the bulk of the head-to-head battle. And yeah, certainly a good battle there.
Yep, good performance there. And we're going to see York tested again with Salisbury coming up, which we'll get to in the preview here quickly. But we got a couple more games we want to cover, so we will get to those here first. And Dan, the next one I want to go to, particularly fun one, it was at a neutral site, and we saw the Red Devils take on the Maroons, which was an awesome contest. Ended up being 15-13 with Dickinson taking it. But what do you want to call this like yearly traditional game that they play that's on a neutral site? I think we should come up with some sort of term for it. Like the Red Bull, because it's
Red
two shades of red going at it.
Something like that.
Yeah, like shades, 50 shades of red.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The 50 shades of Red Bull.
Mm-hmm. 50 shades of Red Bull. So Dan, I didn't catch a ton of this one. Were you able to see some of this here?
I can't confirm or deny anything along those lines, but I'll talk about the game a little bit.
Love it. Hit me with that.
All right. So, sorry, I lost my notes. All right. I'm ready, Freddy. So it was a bit of a wild contest. First of all, both goalies definitely were excellent. Shout out, Caleb. I know you were going to get to this. Both goalies were great. Scarborough, 14 saves. Alex Fuhr, 14 saves. But Dickinson just made the like experience from last year that they bring back count, like all of that type of stuff, like in tight games. I feel like just as things got close and as things got down to the wire, like you were able to kind of bank on those guys being, you know, poised, and especially at the attack position where, you know, you had Owen Porter lead scoring with 4 and then Skylar Schroeder followed right up with 3 points. And, you know, when I think about this Dickinson team, like Schluter is a guy that if Dickinson wants to win the national championship, like he just has to be an alpha, like he has to be a dog. The position that he plays, the role in the offense that he plays, the experience that he has, he's been around for so long at this point, he's logged so many minutes, like he just has to be a dog. He's got to be an alpha. I think he's fine with that. I think he did expect that. Like, you know, nobody plays this game because they want to be passive and want to, you know, the next guy next to them to be, you know, the show. And so I think he's an important guy for this offense, and he played well in this one. And then as you kind of look through the way that this game played out, it was just so back and forth throughout one team would go on a run, the other would answer with a run of their own. Eventually, it gets to a 12-11. Dickinson is trailing. And then they, you know, just go on. Like we said, ultimately, they were the team to make the final run. And that's where, like I said, that experience probably kind of shines through.
Yeah. Yep. Very well said. And this was, you know, Roanoke's been a really fun team for me this year. I've loved watching them. They went on a good 5-game win streak to start the season, then dropped this one here. But, you know, it seems like they're having a lot of fun, playing well, and just a fun team to root for and watch. So look for them to be like the big dog low-key team of the year this year. That's just always a fun, good watch, you know?
No doubt. All right, yeah. I'm going to roll us through a couple other games here. WNL Denison was a Sunday matchup. WNL took that bad boy 13-11. St. Mary's, like we mentioned, we teased this one. St. Mary's takes down Hampton Sydney. Both of these teams kind of sitting in the like 25, under 30 range, but over 20 range. St. Mary's takes them down in overtime. It was quite the finish. Great catch and shoot from the lefty wing from Declan Horton. And
I watched the clip there on Instagram of that. Great, great fire there.
Good. Perfect. I'm glad you saw that. So, yeah, two more results to definitely keep in mind. Another team that's now, I think, in my mind, is definitely pounding on the door is Cortland, who has now taken down our coach Hoff in a 14-7 battle. They're now 2-0. They kept Scranton to 7. They kept St. John Fisher to 7. They both scored 14 against Scranton, 15 against St. John Fisher. So, you know, two really dominant performances there against two solid teams. I think Cortland is definitely a team to watch. New head coach Leland Rogers, you know, he's cooking. He's got the guys rolling. They are playing with an energy. They are, you know, really talented. You had Seth Rothman lead with 6 points. You'll love this kid. Travis Wagner plays with a ton of energy. He made 13 saves. And, I mean, he's really strong. Even when you get good looks against Cortland, who plays pretty good defense, beating Wagner is tough. And he was a starter last year as well. So definitely potential. Dude, tag him right now. Do it.
Okay. All right. I'm not for if you do tag him, I'll do tag him.
Oh, he's dude. He's dude.
Yep.
Preseason All-American. He's dude.
Yep. He's dude. Dude status.
He's dude. And then another game that I mentioned as potential like game of the weekend status, Williams and Babson. Williams wins it 14-13. It was pretty incredible. 7-2, Babson goes up. And then just like that, it gets wiped away. They end up trailing 13-12. But then through the ensuing 11 minutes, Babson's not able to crack the seal again and score. So now that just really opens the door for Williams. It's not like, you know, goes on this massive tear. They only get two out of it. And then things get real tight down the end of the game. Things are stressful. You know, goalies are making some saves. Shooters are getting tight, missing cage wide. And basically that happened for everybody except for Calvin Caputo, who had 8 goals on the day and, you know, got the F's out of there with a 14. I was trying to make a F's joke. The F out of there.
Yeah. I mean, there's potential.
Stuck thinking about that instead of the score of the game. 14-13. So
keep workshopping that. There's something there.
The yep. Eves got the F's out of there. 14-13 win. Yeah. Woo, that was a good rant.
Love that. Oh, that was good.
All right. I feel like that'll wrap us up for preview. I mean, review, yep. Sorry, excuse me, review.
Yeah, those are tough.
What's your deal here? You got anything else that you want to hit? Any other games, anything else of note that you can't move on to your preview segment that you prepped for before we talk about?
I think you wrapped things up perfectly, Dan. You hit everything I wanted to and a little bit more. So I think it's great, and I'm ready to move on if you are.
Nope.
No?
Nope. I got one more.
No? You got one more?
I got one more.
Oh, of course you do.
Geneseo 11, Ithaca 10. I just wanted them to forget or think that I forgot about them.
They thought they were fully prepared to be like, we got snubbed again.
Had them in the first half.
Tell me about them.
This is a matchup that, and again, I would be remiss not to bring it up because they've been in some barn burners recently. A bunch of one goal games, like a bunch of them. If you go back to 2020, they've played, I think, four times. And if I'm remembering my stats correctly that I put into the roundup, shout out D3 Roundup. Go read it if you haven't. Four of the last five have been one goal games with this one. Maybe it was three or four, and then this one makes. Maybe it's four. Yeah, three or four, and then this one makes it four or five. You knew Ithaca Geneseo was also going to be a good one, and it delivered. You know, it always does.
Good. Always does. And yeah, great recap there. I think that seals the deal on the weekend, and we can get into the weekend and midweek preview since we are recording on a Tuesday night. We should hit some of these big Wednesday night games because there are quite a few that we're going to want to touch on for this week.
And go no farther than the Jumbos.
Yeah, we can stop right there and take a little pit stop here.
I mean, that's as big of a midweek matchup as, you know.
Like, since who was sitting down and putting this together?
2018, when the Spartans went across the bridge for the Seagulls in a number one versus number three matchup.
Yeah, I mean, someone should tell the Jumbos that I have swarm practice at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, so scheduling this game is, you know, at the same time really hurt.
Cancel practice. You have diarrhea.
Yeah, oh, trust me, the game will be on during practice. Do not worry.
What are they going to say? You don't have diarrhea?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, coach. You can't get off the toilet. Can't say no to it. Worth a shot. Double trouble.
All right, get us back on track.
All right, moving back from that there. This is going to be a huge matchup that I'm going to be watching. I mean, what? How do you schedule this on a Wednesday night? Like, this should be prime time, 7 p.m. on a Saturday with your popcorn bucket and the family gathered around the TV. Like, this is going to be prime time lacrosse we're going to be watching here. I can't wait for it. Tufts coming in, though, a little untested. We've seen CMU play some big games, get some big wins, grind some things out here and there. So looking forward to kind of seeing if Tufts is battle-tested, battle-ready in that sense. But, Dan, what do you kind of think here for this one?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's certainly like no – there is no warm up into this, you know. It's not like you're going to get. I suppose, you know, last week was your tune up, if you're so to speak. If this is like, you know, big time Division I college football, like you got your FCS through. Not to be disrespectful.
Never.
No disrespect intended. But you got one of those out the way, right? And now you have, you know, another one of those big dogs coming to town for, you know, a big time college game days on campus type of game.
Yeah.
No, nothing in between, right? From, you know, one to the other. And that's going to be, you know, interesting. We'll see exactly how it pans out. For them, they're thinking like, oh, well, we play each other every day in practice. So we're ready to roll. We're up for that. You know, and that's the attitude that they should have. CNU, you mentioned it. They're coming in like, all right, we're ready to roll. Like, we've played everybody. It's so many guys that have been in some really big games throughout the years that, like, you know, they're not going to back down or shy away. You know, it'll be interesting to see exactly how it all plays out. But I know that it's not going to be a situation of like, you know, they roll up there, they show up in Boston and then don't get off the bus.
Yeah, yeah, that won't be happening. This will be a dogfight through and through. Other two notable games on Wednesday night. If you, you know, if there's a break in the action here, flip to it. RPI is going to be at Middlebury tomorrow night, as well as Union is going to be at Williams. Two big games I got my eye on, especially that RPI Middlebury game. I think that's going to be a really tight bout. Two pretty strong teams going at it. We've talked about Joe Perry quite a bit on this pod, so don't need to beat a dead horse there. But, you know, Middlebury's looking pretty strong, starting off the year hot with a big 17-goal performance.
Two good bets of the week this week. Also, I've been crushing you in bets of the week so far.
I know. It's been a rough year for me.
that obviously didn't get to listen to the episode that never was the week before because my track was cut off. I won that bet, and I won the week before. So
sure.
Starting off hot.
Yeah. There's no evidence of that second win, but we'll give you the win with an asterisk.
I would love to give it to you just so that at the end of the season, it's not so much of a slaughtering.
Bring it on, baby. But yeah, we can do two bets of the week this week. Yeah, right. We'll pick a Wednesday and a Saturday.
You said you think it's going to be tight, huh?
I think it's going to be tight, yes. You don't think it's going to be tight?
Who's the favorite? You said the same. You said a whole bunch of, you know, Tufts isn't battle tested. Middlebury's only played one game. It was a good team. It's only one game, though.
One game, true. I'm going RPI favored 1.5 points.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to set.
You're taking Middlebury plus two?
Well, plus I'm setting the line.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I'm going to abuse you based off of the information I've already been given. Middlebury is the favorite, first of all. For sure. Okay. What are you looking at me like that for?
Okay.
Is that Middlebury and they're higher ranked?
I think I like battle tested over.
All right, so I'll give you 1.5 then.
You'll give it to me?
I'll give you RPI
plus 1.5.
Plus 1.5.
Okay.
I'd say Middlebury wins by more than two.
Deal. Bet.
Union Williams, next up.
Yes, next up to finish up our Wednesday slate there. What do you got for this one? I think Union comes in pretty untested as well. Only one game under the belt, I believe.
No, they have a couple under their belt at this point.
They have a couple. Okay.
But some tight ones. I think at this point they have three wins under their belt, but yes, by a combination of, you know, not very many goals. And considering the opponents, I think a lot of Union fans would have wished that total was a lot more. So it'd be interesting to see how that continues to unfold. Union is a team that has dropped a little bit in the rankings despite continuing to win their games. So, you know, do with that information what you will on how I feel like that they've presented so far this year.
Sure. Cool. Yep, and then we will move on to Saturday, which we have a pretty great slate coming in Saturday. I hate to be biased, but game of the day for me has got to be the York-Salisbury game. You know, York coming off that loss versus RIT, but they did take a lot away from it. So, you know, there is that aspect, but then again, Salisbury has just been an absolute wagon this year rolling through. So, you know, I think there is definitely hope, but I think it's going to be an uphill battle for the Spartans this Saturday.
Yeah, uphill battle, I feel like, is a good description. They will host. I feel like, you know, a little home field advantage is potentially a little helpful there. So you got a little momentum to start, but how far can they ride that home field advantage? We will find out.
That we will. Dan, do you have your eyes on a possible game of the weekend, though?
I do. It's been a circle, like preseason circle to this one. I had it in my head that it was opening weekend, so I was a little disappointed at some point, but I realized it's okay. That Middlebury Amherst was a fine intermediate before Middlebury Bowdoin, which is the game that really jacked me up. This is
going to be incredible. Good pick.
I think both of these teams are very similar. I think they're both athletic and physical and, you know, want to get out and run, you know, really skilled and talented. Like, I think Middlebury Bowdoin here, it could have precursor, you know, for rematch late in the season type implications, you know, all that type of stuff, you know, NESCAC standing implications, all of that. I feel like it's really, you know, an important matchup, and not just in terms of like all that, but it'll be really fun to watch. It'll just be a D3 fan, like, priority watch.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good call out there. Very excited about that one. Another one I'm excited about Saturday is WNL at Gettysburg, though. I think this is going to be a big, big week where we're going to see if WNL's for real. You know, they came close against York, but they've won out since with that recent win over Denison. So they've been playing well, but I think this is going to be the next real big test for them if they can kind of get over this hump. And then for Gettysburg, if they can kind of play with consistency, that we've seen them play some good teams pretty well, some very well experienced teams, just beat the tough battle with Stevenson. And this is going to be another tough test. Luckily, they have it at home. So I think that's going to be a benefit for him. But, you know, I'm going to be looking for the consistency out of the Bullets this weekend.
Love it. That'll be a great one. WNL Gettysburg. I'm also looking forward to another really good one, Dickinson Stevenson. Do you recall this one?
Rematch last of the year. I sure do.
Rematch of a very, very good game that we got to catch firsthand. Plug, go get your ticket to Mustang Classic. What are you doing still listening to this without a Mustang Classic ticket? What are you doing? Don't upset me like that. And I'm sorry for snapping, but...
It was deserved. They didn't have a Mustang Classic ticket. What are they going to do?
But yeah, so this won't be a Mustang Classic game, but was last year. Now they get to avenge that, or Stevenson gets to, you know, defend it. And they're both, you know, both teams looking for a statement, quite frankly. Like, I think Dickinson, again, similar to what I was saying with Union, like, they're winning games, but I haven't been super, 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 super impressed. You know, it's not like they have set the world on fire so far. I don't know that it means panic button time, because it's very similar to last year. Like, I think back to Dickinson versus Illinois Wesleyan, they just really struggled against, like, zone. And just, you know, like, that was a game that did not scream top five team in the country. You know, like, they have some of those sometimes, and perhaps those are the types of lumps you have to take in order to actually be a top five team at the end of the year.
Yep. I think that's well said there. I'm going to continue this train and pick one more fun one from Saturday. And this one's one I've had my eye on for this past week. So looking forward to talking about it here. But it's the Wesleyan Roanoke game, which you informed me is another neutral site game for the Maroons. Sparks. As they're going to be playing at the U.S. Lacrosse headquarters, I believe.
USA Lacrosse now.
USA Lacrosse headquarters.
Only as of like 2 years ago, dude. Keep up. Gosh.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I gotta get with the times. But this is, I think this has set to be a points bonanza. I think this is just going to be a lot of fun. I think you're going to see so many goals in this game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Another 15-13 type game, 17.
The big dog spread for it's going to be at around 27.5, I think.
Oh,
is what I'm feeling. Yeah, high scoring. Even higher, you think?
You give me 27.5 for Wesley and Dickinson. Wait, what? That's who it is?
Wesley and Rona. Yep.
Yeah, I'll go over.
See, it's a good line.
It's a good line. But I'm taking
it. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Wesleyan untested a little bit, just kind of getting the year off. They started off on the right foot, but looking to
continue. Shout out Colby and Coach Bernhardt for his debut as a head coach. Mm. And obviously NESCAC World and D3 Nation. Cool to have Coach Bernhardt a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shout out Coach there. And then the Maroons, we talked about them earlier, but you know, they have that 5-1 record, just losing Dickinson by 2 points there. So they're looking pretty good. And we didn't talk about anyone specific, but I definitely wanted to call out Wyatt Whitlow. He's got 29. He could be dude. I mean, he's got 29 points in 6 games.
Yep.
What is it? 20 goals, 9 assists there.
Okay.
So he's been absolutely crushing it. I like to call him and Luke Kromenacker, a little thunder and lightning. I think Wyatt brings the, brings the thunder.
Yeah. You said Kromenacker. Kromenacker is your Amherst fellow.
Cameraman.
Different long, weird looking K word.
I saw the long K name and went for it. Yeah, Luke Kammerman,
yep.
He's got 27 points this year and 16 goals and 11 assists. So I like to call them a little thunder lightning, where Wyatt brings the thunder with the goals, and then Luke comes in with the lightning, dishes it out a little bit here, a little bit there.
You wouldn't call Luke's brother the lightning to his thunder? All right. Middlebury Babson, definitely a good one. I see you have on here an over-under 22.5. So you're thinking a little bit lower scoring, at least for one team. Are you leaning towards kind of a Middlebury holds Babson down, or you think it's more of a, you know, 11-10 type game?
I'm going definitely more of the 11-10 type game. I think it's going to be real tight, especially because Middlebury is going to be playing that day before.
Yeah.
So I think that back-to-back, shout out my man Drake, that back-to-back play there is going to be real tough for him. And, you know, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be the reason that they lose. I don't think that they're going to lose this one. But I do think it's going to make the game a lot more tighter than it's truly going to be.
And Kenyon has a big week. They have Dickinson and F&M back to back with a Wednesday, Saturday slate. Kenyon taking F&M, you have 23.5 and F&M 4.5. I like that. That seems like a fine line there. I will take Kenyon to cover the 4.5, my friend.
Oh, okay. That's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Stamp it. It's in the books. Next up, what do you got here? Where you want to go? Pick your path, partner.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's see. You took some of my good ones there. I'm going to go Dennison Lynchburg. I think Dennison Lynchburg has the makings to be a really fun game. Lynchburg kind of been on the wrong end of a lot of these big top 20 matchups that they played early on. But they've put a lot of things together, and I think this might be the start of everything starting to click for them. Like we talked about, I'm looking to see that cohesive defense. And starting to get on the right foot. And they do have a lot of guys on the offensive end. No dudes yet, but they have quite a few guys that I think can get there. So look for Lynchburg. My thoughts personally, look for Lynchburg to kind of get back onto the right foot on this one, but it's going to be a tough task.
And another mention here of an injury. We mentioned Mazrell with the hand. Riley Mitchell we haven't seen for Lynchburg. So certainly a guy that once he gets back into the rotation will be a big boost.
Definitely. 100%. Any other big games for the weekend, Dan?
No, buddy. I think this has been a really, you know, solid podcast. Did we dig into it at all? A little bit before, but like we said, we'll be a little more condensed, a little bit more concise, lean to, you know, some preview, lean to some review, and do some statistical players of the week, dish out some thoughts. We're going to be a little more concise, but we're going to try and release it each week. So don't hold us to it. We're, you know, idiots, and we're going to overstep and continue to like overpromise and continue to try and do our best. But if we don't get to every week, still love us and listen.
Love y'all.
Peace.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.